Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, September 19, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Ways to Keep Back to School from Becoming Back to Bullying, with my guest, Vicki Abadesco, expert educator and program consultant. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Now, whether you're listening to the show live on the phone or maybe over on the website in the chat room, or perhaps you're listening to the show after the fact from our archives, in any case, I am honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. If you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, that's very easy to do. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you'll see several ways to keep up with the show. One of the easiest ones is to click the follow button so you'll get an announcement in your email every week to remind you of the episode. Have you always wanted to write a book but hesitated because you didn't know how to get started? I know this applies to many of you because you've told me so. Some of you have been writing pages and pages for months, maybe even years, but don't know how to get your book published. If this sounds like you, I invite you to get your copy of my home study workshop, How to Write Your Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, Even If You're an Ordinary Person and Hated High School English. That covers most of us. I will show you how to go from choosing your title to getting your book written quickly and marketed effectively. Most important, in this workshop, I'm going to tell you how to start earning money from your book before it's even finished. You can download your copy of the Home Study Workshop from my website, www.abookin90days.com. When you place your order, you will be able to download the course immediately and get started on it right away. On this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about all those things that contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is Ways to Keep Back to School from Becoming Back to Bullying with my guest, Vicki Abadesco, an expert educator and program consultant with 25 years of leadership work with schools and organizations throughout the United States and abroad. Her extensive work with a wide variety of thousands of youth and adults allows her to have a constant pulse on what people need to be launched into lifelong success and growth. Her expertise and training includes individual and group-level counseling, conflict resolution, crisis intervention, and brain-based learning. She has written and produced several curriculum manuals based on life skills and is a seasoned facilitator of learning. Vicki is the director and co-founder of Soul Shop, a widely acclaimed educational program that teaches life skills, bullying prevention, and character education in schools that reaches tens of thousands of young people every year. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Vicki. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Flora. It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
It's great to have you. I mean, here we are. School is already in session a few weeks for many people, and I'll bet that bullying has already started, and that's exactly why I thought this was a great time to have an expert like yourself come and share with us, because I'm a parent and a grandparent, and I'm a retired teacher also. So bullying is something I'm familiar with, and I know that other parents are too. So, tell us how you got started with this work.
Well, I got started. I worked for San Francisco School District for about 13 years, and the work I was doing in schools was mainly with middle school and high school students. And so I did violence prevention work and crisis intervention work and some gang prevention work, and as much prevention work that I was doing, I really found myself doing much more intervention work. Students were already so in need and doing behaviors that were hurting other people and hurting themselves that I was intervening in all of those situations. And so when I left the district and decided what do kids really need, and these skills and these tools are so valuable, and you know, a lot of people call them life skills for a reason. And what would be an easier way to make sure that those 16, 17-year-old students could have access to those skills? And so I thought, well, maybe we need to teach them younger so that it becomes part of their language, it becomes part of their vocabulary and part of their skill set when they're younger. So when they're older, really faced with some of those pressures and really difficult, challenging decision-making points in their lives, that they'll have some other tools to work from. So we decided, wow, you know what, let's start working with elementary schools and that population and those students who are just learning so many things at the right time and first just really learning about what feelings are so that they can have some tools and skills, again, that they can use from to make wiser, better choices for themselves.
Oh, okay. Now, what makes Soul Shop different than other bullying prevention programs?
Yeah, I love this question. It's, you know, I know there's a lot of great people out there doing really amazing work, and we are, you know, doing our part as well. And so one of the things that I do think makes us very different is we are really willing to, quote unquote, go there. So a lot of students have so much that they're carrying with them these days. So, you know, they go home from school and they've got, you know, all the stuff that might have happened at school. So maybe someone pushed them on the playground, or maybe someone took their lunch, or maybe just a friend was having a bad day and didn't talk to them. So they take all of that home. And so sometimes parents don't know how to talk to their kids about any of that, or the kids don't really want to talk about it. But then at home, things happen. Maybe parents are fighting. Maybe a brother or sister pushed them around. You know, so then they go to school, and they have, you know, they have stuff from home that they bring. So it's kind of like this cycle, right? Our stuff from school goes home. Our stuff from home goes to school. And so who talks about all of that? You know, where do these students feel safe enough to talk about what's really going on, whether it's happening at school or whether it's happening at home? And so we do something that's a little different, and which is really ask the students that question and create a space for them to feel safe enough so that they can just be real about what's going on and to tell the truth about it. And what we're finding is that the students have so much they want to talk about, and when they realize we are willing to listen and it's okay to talk about it, we're just hearing the amazing things that these young people are holding on to and carrying in their lives.
Wow, wow. Could you share with us some specific ways that you work with perhaps parents or students in terms of preventing bullying offline, online, at school, intervention, specific things that you do.
Yeah. So one of the first things is I really get that the students really want to be connected. So as I was just saying that, you know, they're literally dying to be connected. And that for them is they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want their voice to really be respected, and for somebody to look at them in the eye and say, that's right, that's okay, I hear you. I hear that you're angry, I hear that you're sad, I hear that you're feeling this way or that way, and what do you need? And so one thing that I think would be is really important for all of us working with young people, parents, teachers, administrators, other adults, is to really make sure that we are taking that time. And I know that in our world right now with technology, things are moving so fast, so fast. And it's challenging sometimes, I know for myself, just to even stop, take a breath, really look at somebody that I'm talking to eye to eye and make that connection. So I think one of the very first things is for us to make that kind of connection as much as possible with the young people in our lives. Because like I said, I think they're literally dying for that kind of connection.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's one thing. I think secondly is I have a goddaughter that's 13 years old, and she's a freshman in high school, and she's just in it, right? So Facebook, she also goes to a school where every student gets an iPad, right? So so she's totally hooked up, teched out, all of that. And so one of the things that her amazing mother does is she actually literally unplugs the house during certain times. And so that means the remote gets actually hidden, you know, so they can't watch TV. The internet gets unplugged. And so what ends up happening is when they don't have access to that, those things, you know, beyond Facebook or, you know, emailing or things like that, that there tends to be much more focus on actually talking, connecting, and having family time.
Yeah.
And you know, first couple of weeks it was a little rough, and, you know, the kids were like, why are you doing this to us? I can't believe you're doing this to us. It's torture. and then what ends up happening is they just kind of like let it go. And so then they're like, okay, you know what, we're not getting our way, so we're at the dinner table, so let's talk about how our days were. And so now it's fine. So I would really encourage parents to just unplug in as many ways as possible. And again, if you have young people in your lives that have phones, you know, really be monitoring that, you know, so limiting the number of texts that they get every month, making sure you have access, going through those phone records to look at phone numbers and make sure you know who they're talking to. I was recently at a conference and that we were talking about technology, and they were saying that student minutes on the phone actually are spent mainly with parents or family members, and the most time that young people are spending on the phone now is by texting. And actually talking to someone on the phone was considered old school.
It is.
So
let me tell you.
So I was like,
the only way I can talk to my grandkids is text. Forget calling.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and how many people are like, you know, look, I'm texting my kid that I'm going to call them in a minute, you know, and pick up the phone, you know, so it's like we're really moving in a fast world, and for all of us to be able to stay on top of that, you know, back in the day, you know, it wasn't, you know, too long ago where we used to say, but the TV's on every day, it's all the time, my kids just watch so much TV, as if we never had a choice to unplug the TV or turn off.
Exactly.
And so I think it's the same way when we think about technology. We are in control of it. We can hide the router. We can unplug the TV. We can hide the remote. You know, we can monitor.
Right.
And really, as adults and parents in young people's lives, that's, you know, that's just stepping forward and supporting them so that they can develop that other part of the brain that's all about human connection, which is the right side. The left side of the brain, when we're texting and doing that, working with that kind of with technology and, you know, using that part of our brain, it's just becoming more developed than the right side, which is about human connection, developing empathy, listening. And so we really want the brain to be balanced. And so we're doing our kids a favor if we can help them to unplug.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the third thing would be is that for teachers, administrators, and parents really need to remember that they're on the same team. And I know that, you know, and you might have this experience too, Flora, where it's just like sometimes it doesn't feel that way, you know. It's like sometimes it's like, you know, is it the parent and the teacher against the kid, and then the kid and the parent against the teacher, and then the teacher and the kid against the parent, you know. It's,
right.
To really have everyone on the same team. Now imagine the kind of education and support a young person could get if everyone was really on the same team. And again, I know that, you know, that's an extra thing that a parent or a teacher might have to do in order to make sure that that happens, but that's the only way we're going to make sure that our young people don't fall between the cracks. And there are so many out there that are just, like I said, literally dying to be heard and listened to, and the more that we can band together, as a team, then the more young people can get what they need. And I think that's really an important thing, because sometimes I know when I ask young people, actually when I ask anybody, what is it that you need? I usually get kind of a blank look, because most people don't actually know how to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
They usually don't get asked, what do you need? Oh, I just need somebody to sit down and listen to me. Oh, you know what? I need people to respect me. I need my space. I need to be left alone. I need help. I need to talk about what's going on without you being upset or trying to make me feel a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, for, you know, being able to build that team so that we're all on the same team, we all want the best for our young people, and how can we just come together and, again, teachers and parents start communicating in a way so that, again, that young person knows that they've got adults in their lives that got their back.
Mm, that's wonderful. Actually, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking that these are some points that adults need to do as well, because I would guess that whether we are victims of bullying or not, that we're all hungry for connection and for being able to share our feelings safely.
Absolutely.
And the second one about unplugging, that's going to be a challenge for the parents, because
yes.
So I see so many people, adults, text messaging and talking on the phone. I mean, when I go out for walks, I see people walking down the street talking. And it gets to the point of you wonder, are they going to run into something one day? And
mm-hmm.
actually, there was a lady, I don't know if you saw in the news, who did walk into one of those open fountains in the mall.
Oh,
one
my gosh.
Day.
Wow.
Did you see that on the news?
I didn't see that one.
She walked, I guess she was text messaging. She walked right into one of those fountains and fell into the water.
Wow.
In the mall. So I think parents have a challenge to unplug themselves and to model unplugging in order for it to work with their children. It can't very well work if we're still going to be text messaging at the dinner table or whatever.
Exactly.
And then I like the last one about building your team and recognizing that it takes that team effort for all of this to work together with the teachers. And as teachers, I know when I taught junior high, that was one of the first things I did, and this was eons before text messaging, or we still had bullying though back in those days.
Sure.
And was to let the parents know that this was a partnership, and to stress that continuously, and it makes a huge difference. So that's an important component. Before we go any further, would you let us know how we can learn more about bullying prevention and about your program for those who are listening and perhaps want to either get information or perhaps have you work with their schools or their children?
Absolutely. The best way to reach us is to check out our website, which is www.soulshop, which is soulshoppe.com, soulshop.com. And if you go to our website, you can learn about all the different bully prevention programs we offer, including teacher trainings and parent programs and a peacemaker program that we do. And you'll also find our email on that website. We would love to hear from you.
That's great. I want to mention that I did go to your website, and one of the things I clicked over to, I've forgotten exactly where it was, but you had a link to something about celebrities who got bullied. And I think a lot of people would be shocked at the level of teasing, bullying, and whatever that many people that we consider celebrities that are respected today, the kinds of teasing and bullying they were subjected to when they
were
in school. Yeah,
absolutely.
Which lets us know that we are all, it's open season on any of us.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, right, is I think sometimes when bullying happens or someone's being teased, that a lot of times we, you know, it's happening to us, so of course we take it very personal. And
mm-hmm.
what happens then is that we feel like we're the only ones. And
yes.
so when we go in and do our programs, this is one of the things that I, again, feel like really sets us apart from other programs out there, because we do ask students to come up and share what's happening with them. If they
mm-hmm.
have feelings that they have that they don't know what to do with, because that's the context that we have, is that everyone has feelings, and some of us, we just don't know what to do with those feelings. So know, we might hit somebody or disrespect somebody. And even as adults, Laura, I mean, you know this, you know, it's like if you are feeling something and there's not a place for it to go out, you might snap at somebody, most likely somebody that you love and care about.
That's true.
So we all do that. We do that as adults. But for some reason, we really put this pressure on young kids that they should actually know how to manage their feelings.
Yes.
And they don't because they're just learning about their feelings. And so to me, it makes sense that, oh, you know what, I got something going on. I'm not sure. It feels kind of weird. I don't know what to do with it. So I'm going to hit you. And it's just going to bring a little relief.
Mm.
And they feel that. Right. So what we do, again, with young people is we, you know, ask them to come up and share if they've got something going on. So young people will share all kinds of different things. They will share about maybe, you know, they got into a fight with their best friend 2 weeks ago and now, and they're still not talking. And so now they're really sad. And so they don't know what to do. So what they do is they end up talking about that friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they don't know what else to do. They're still trying to find connection to that friend, which is why they keep talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or sometimes they think something really intense, which might be something like, oh, my parents were fighting at home and I've been really scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to talk about it. And so they're not talking about it, so I don't know how to talk about it, and so I come to school, and it's just like, you know, I keep, you know, pinching or bothering the person that's sitting next to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they share all of these different ways, and so for us, it's for us, for them to see that, one, they're not alone, because we'll ask, you know, how many of you have ever hurt somebody because you were hurting? Every hand in the room goes up. How many of you have ever teased somebody because you didn't know how to deal with what was happening with you? Every hand goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our programs, they get to get that they aren't alone, that they're not the only one who feels that way or does some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we turn it around with them. And so what do you need? So instead of hurting somebody, kicking somebody, talking about somebody, gossiping about somebody, what do you really need? And the answer that comes up for them almost every single day with a tear in their eye is, I need friends. I need real friends. I need people to ask me how I am. I need people to listen. I need hugs.
Yes.
And so then we'll ask, right, a room full of 200 kids, how many of you would be willing to say hello or give him or her a hug? Every hand will go up. So usually if we have this kid that's been labeled a bully, that label has now come off, and this kid is now getting the support that they have been waiting for and needing all this time.
That's
so
amazing. Yeah.
So that's the piece.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you about, does this work with the bully as well as the person that's been being bullied?
Yeah. And usually when we do ask who has something they want to come up and share, you got a lot going on that you know that you might be hurting yourself or others, it's usually that quote-unquote bully who comes to the front of the room. And so we usually don't know that until the end of the program when the principal says, oh, my goodness, that kid's been terrorizing people since he was in the second grade. And so in that moment, that kid who everyone was afraid of, in a few minutes turns around from being the quote-unquote bully to actually someone who ends up becoming like a hero in some ways, right? Because now this is the kid that, like, the whole room gets some empathy, that they're like, we got your back. We know what you're going through now. And you know what? We're going to ask. And we're also going to hold you to treating us nicely. And so it becomes like now we're all on the same team again.
Does this work most effectively then? It sounds like it does in groups as opposed to pulling one kid aside, you know, go to the principal's
office. Yeah, that's a great question.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, it really works well in the group because, again, that's kind of the lie that we all get told, that we're all alone and that we all have to handle it by ourselves. And so what they learn by doing it in the group, that they're not alone, because when every hand goes up, because we ask a lot of questions, like how many of you can see how courageous and brave they are being for sharing themselves, you know, and every hand goes up. So if they're feeling shame or scared in that moment, they're getting support now. And so it encourages them to share more, it encourages them to ask for what they need, and it encourages them to be open to getting the support. So by doing it in a group, we're really teaching them about community, what it feels like to get support, to give support, to feel that people actually have your back, to feel that people want to truly be a good friend. And we have those conversations with them, you know, so how could you be a good friend? Or we ask maybe a friend to come up and say, would you be willing to check in with him or her every single day to make sure that they're getting their hugs, that they're saying hi to people, that, you know, that they're not doing hurtful things to themselves or to other people. So we really guide them to really work on what a good friendship looks like and what a good community feels like and looks like.
Now, does this work equally as well in intervention? I'm thinking prevention, it can work very well. But intervention, have you had kids who were pretty notorious for having done some pretty terrible things in this in a given school?
Yeah.
You were, and I'm assuming these are kids who are still in school. They haven't been sent away, incarcerated, or some other kind of thing. They still are enrolled in school.
Most of these, most of it is, it depends on the level, of course, you know, and again, you know, this is what I was saying earlier about, you know, whatever happens outside of school impacts what happens in school, what happens in school impacts what happens outside of school. And so, you know, obviously for some of our young people, there's just so much going on that, you know, how can the school system that is, you know, every day feels like it's getting depleted of resources, really be able to really serve that young person in the best way, you know, in the way that they need, because they have so, their needs are so great. So I think on some level, you know, on sometimes I think the intervention could really work. But I think, again, it just depends on what kind of support they're getting in other places and other areas of their lives. So if, again, that's why my point of, you know, who's the team and, you know, building your team and making sure, again, that family and school, you know, like that team needs to come together. And so, of course, if that already is a difficult starting place, then it might makes it more difficult or a little more challenging for that young person to really stop doing that hurtful behavior.
Now, does your program have some kind of referral system so that if you're working with a group or school and you identify and recognize some students who are having trouble because they don't have that team and support when they leave school? Or does your program do any kind of referral? I just thought about this.
Yeah, that's a great, great question. You know, I have had parents call me for resources, and so I'm, you know, we can offer resources, but our main thing is, you know, we like to, again, keep that partnership going strong with the school, so we like to work with the school to see what kind of resource the school has that could be helpful to that young person and that young person's family.
Oh, okay, okay. One other question. We're almost out of time. Can you believe it? I want to focus on what parents can do in addition to what you've mentioned already, the unplugging, which, of course, unplugging leads to open communication or the possibility of communication.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you can recommend to parents that they can do?
I would say, you know, we were talking about it earlier about just, you know, parents, you might need to build up your own skills, right? So maybe you grew up in a home where you didn't talk about feelings or no one communicated with you. And so you might be feeling challenged to do that with your young person. So if that's true, then find some resources for yourself so that you can learn how to talk about your feelings or share what's going on, because your young people want to know that you actually go through things. And I think they're amazed, and then they don't feel alone. So if they're not hearing that that from their peers, they actually really love hearing it from the adults in their lives.
That's a good point. So I think in the process of working with their youngsters, parents can be tremendously benefited because then they get to work on themselves as well. We've run out of time. I want to thank you so much, Vicki, for making time to share these tips. And I want to remind listeners that you can go over to Soul Shop, spelled S-O-U-L-S-H-O-P, hoppe.com to learn more about the bullying prevention program. And, of course, there's a way to ask questions there. I'm sure you can contact Vicki there.
Absolutely.
Vicki, thank you for being my guest.
Thanks, Laura.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Don't forget, if you're ready to write your book, head on over to abookin90days.com. I look forward to having you join me next Monday, September 26th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another exciting show. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California. This is Flora Brown saying, have a blessed week and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Color your life happy.